So that whole stack of source material you sent over, the articles, the research notes,
All of it, yeah.
all centered on self-awareness and, you know, how we pay attention to ourselves,
Yeah.
it really all seemed to funnel down to one pretty surprising conclusion.
And it's not what you typically think.
Not at all. We're not
Right.
talking about productivity
Yeah.
or trying to fix yourself. We're talking about love.
Exactly. That's our whole mission for this deep dive, to really pull out this core insight that what if the quality of your observation, just how you pay attention to yourself, is actually the most powerful form of self-love there is.
It was this one line from the sources that just, it completely hooked me. It said, "Observation without judgment as a form of love and care." Just that simple act, witnessing.
It connects to this bigger idea we found, which is that awareness isn't some, intellectual exercise. It's really about checking in,
Right.
asking what is going on within me.
Yeah.
And doing that check-in consistently, that is the love. It's this act of connection.
And we should say, we're going to be exploring concepts you might hear in places like somatic circles or embodiment workshops. But we want to apply them in a way that's much more relatable for you, much more intimate. Okay, so let's get into it. A great place to start is this phrase a lot of people have probably heard, the full body yes.
For sure. It's used a lot in, therapy, consent workshops, that kind of thing.
And the common understanding is pretty straightforward, right?
Yeah, it's usually about a big decision. You're offered a new job, you're thinking of moving, and you check in to see if your whole body is on board, not just your logical mind.
Which makes total sense.
Yeah.
You know, if your brain is saying yes, but your stomach is in knots.
You've got to listen to that.
Exactly. But here's the huge aha moment that the sources gave us. They completely reframe this.
It's a really fundamental shift. It moves the whole conversation away from decisions and toward awareness.
So it's not really about the one-off decision.
No, the sources suggest the full body yes is actually about building this continuous, almost radical awareness as like a baseline of self-love.
So the question changes. It's not, does my body agree with this job offer?
Right.
It becomes, do I love myself enough to check in with my whole self right
Yeah.
now just to see what's here?
Regardless of any decision, it's the willingness to look. That's the act of love.
And that check-in, that what is going on within me, it's surprisingly deep. It's not just a quick thought.
It's really comprehensive. The source material breaks it down into five areas: what you're thinking, what you're feeling, what your body's doing, like where is there tension,
Okay.
what your energy is like, and this is a critical part, what part of you is asking for your attention right now?
That feels like a lot to track, especially when we're so used to just living up in our heads,
Yeah,
you know, in the cognitive world.
it is. And that's where this this other concept comes in, interoception.
Okay, so interoception. Can you give us
Yeah.
the plain language version of that? It sounds a
Yeah.
little clinical.
It does, but it's incredibly practical. Put simply, interoception is like your sixth sense for your internal world. It's how you know you're hungry or thirsty or tired. But on a deeper level, it's how you sense subtle things. Like a flicker of anxiety, or that feeling of being drained, or a spark of excitement, even if you can't put a name to it yet.
So if I walk into a room and just get a bad vibe, an off feeling,
Yeah.
even if I don't know why, that's my interoception.
That's it, exactly. It's your system picking up on data your conscious mind hasn't processed. And if you ignore that sense, you end up living, well, estranged from your own body. You wait until your mind tells you you're burned out, which is usually way too late.
So reclaiming it is like reclaiming this deep inner knowledge.
It is. And the goal here isn't to immediately fix anything you find. It's just to expand your awareness.
To let it all in.
All of it, the comfortable, the uncomfortable, the clear, the confusing, the parts of you like and the parts you don't.
And the sources say there's a reciprocity to this.
A necessary one. The quality of observation you give yourself directly determines the quality you can give to other people. If you just witness yourself without fixing, you can start to witness them in that same loving way.
Witnessing, not fixing, that is the perfect bridge to our next section. Because the biggest challenge here is learning to hold both attention and tension.
That's the whole practice, isn't it? And it's so hard because we are just wired for a quick fix. There was this great phrase in the sources about learning to hold tension and attention without judging too quickly.
I love that phrase, holding the tension. It means you feel something's unresolved, it's difficult. And instead of immediately trying to solve it or just running away, you stay with it. You just keep paying attention.
And the opposite of that is what the source material called the ocular conclusion.
Ocular conclusion. Okay, let's break that down.
It's what our very active intellect does. It rushes in. It needs a name, a category, a solution right now.
Oh, I know this one. It's that diagnostic mode. You feel something and your mind just yells, I got it. That's just stress. Okay, filed.
And the second you do that, the inquiry is over.
Right.
If you just waited, held that tension, you might have realized it wasn't just stress. Maybe it was grief or a boundary you needed to set or just that you haven't eaten in 6 hours.
That is so profound. Rushing to a name just shuts down any chance of deeper understanding.
And that's why the reframe is so important. This slow, patient observation, it's an act of love. It's not data gathering.
A lab tech gathers data.
Exactly. A lover connects. Mm. And you can't connect with something you've already labeled and dismissed.
If your home base is this interior place, like the sources say, then you have to observe what's happening there to stay connected. Otherwise, you're a stranger to your own experience.
And it's really hard to love a stranger. So it all comes down to the quality of that attention. We can actually use anxiety as a really practical example here.
Okay, so let's talk about the two different ways to observe it. Let's start with the one most of us probably do, judging observation.
Right. So anxiety shows up. And the inner monologue is all about failure. It's, ugh, I'm anxious again. I should be over this. What is wrong with me? I'm broken.
You're noticing it, but you're also immediately attacking it.
Precisely. And all that judgment just piles more anxiety on top of the original feeling. You've made it an enemy you have to defeat.
Which sounds completely exhausting and counterproductive.
It is. So now compare that with what we're calling loving observation. The anxiety shows up.
Okay.
But your relationship to it is one of curiosity, of care. The inner dialogue changes to something like, oh, hello, anxiety, you're here.
Just acknowledging it.
Just acknowledging it. Where are you in my body? A tight chest. Okay, I know you're trying to help me get ready for something. Thank you. Do you need anything from me? A few deep breaths. A glass of water.
Wow. So in one, you attack the feeling. In the other, you see it as a signal, as a part of you that's trying to help, even if it's clumsy.
That's the whole difference. It's a part of you to care for, not a flaw to get rid of. The really hard part is creating that tiny space between the feeling and the judgment. Because for most of us, that link is automatic.
And learning to create that space, that pause, that leads us right into the patience this all requires, which for the modern mind is maybe the hardest part of all.
It's the ultimate rebellion against the productivity-obsessed brain. There's this one example in the source that was just, it was beautiful and also so frustratingly slow.
The shoulder tension one.
The shoulder tension. Observing it for 2 full weeks before the real understanding showed up.
2 weeks. I mean, the part of my brain that wants to Google 5-minute fix for tight shoulders is just screaming right now. How is that patience more efficient than just fixing it?
Because you have to trust the slow reveal. If you give it 30 minutes, you get the ocular conclusion. Oh, it's just stress. But if you stick with it.
Story changes.
The story gets richer, more nuanced. Day one, yeah, tight shoulders, maybe it's stress. Day five, you notice it's actually worse when you're trying to relax. Day 10, you realize you hunch up right before you have to make a difficult phone call.
Ah, so it wasn't just stress. It was a specific physical pattern linked to a specific trigger.
Exactly. And by day 14, the real insight emerges. The body was asking for more structural support during confrontation or maybe for movement breaks. The quick answer, it's just stress, would have missed all of that complexity.
The productive brain screams, fix it now.
And loving observation just says, let's just watch for a bit. Let's see what the whole story is.
So the real practice is unlearning that drive to make meaning too quickly.
Yes, to have one simple narrative. Quick meaning is often wrong. Slow observation lets the nuance in. It lets you see that the tension today might need something completely different from the tension last week.
Our inner world is complex, and we have to treat it with that kind of respect.
And that respect, that patience you learn to give yourself, that's what you then bring into your relationships with other people. It all comes back around.
The reciprocity again. If I only see myself through a lens of judgment, like I'm always messing this up,
then you're going to see others through that exact same critical lens. Look at them. They're failing.
But if you can meet yourself with curiosity, what's this about? What do I need? You can meet others that way, too. I wonder what's going on for them. How can I support them?
You move from being a diagnostician to being a support.
It reminds me of that question from Nora Bateson. Who can I be when I'm with you? You can't answer that if you've already decided who the other person is.
Answering that question requires so much observational patience. You have to allow them to be complex, to be contradictory, to change from one moment to the next.
And that's what witnessing really means, isn't it? It's not passive.
Not at all. It's an embodied capacity. It means seeing the whole person, the parts they like, the parts they don't, their confusion, their strength, and just holding space for all of it to be true at once.
So true love isn't just loving the easy, polished version of someone.
It's loving the whole messy, complex reality. And when you stop trying to fix them or manage them and just learn to be with them, you discover whole new ways to be with people. You become a safe space for their reality because you're learning to be one for your own.
So bring this all home. We've talked about reframing the full body, yes, about holding tension, about the patience to observe. What's the final takeaway?
It's all about reestablishing that relationship with yourself, using that meta-awareness to come home to the parts of you that got disconnected along the way.
It feels like a reminder that the wisdom we're all looking for isn't out there somewhere, in a book or a teacher.
It's right here. It's in your body. It's in the quality of attention you're willing to bring to yourself minute by minute. That's the real work.
So here's the final thought we want to leave you with. A challenge, really.
Yeah.
How would your life change? How would your relationships change if you spent just the next week observing yourself the way you would observe someone you deeply, unconditionally love?
No fixing, no judging, just noticing. What's happening in my body right now? What do I need? What's asking for my attention?
That shift from critique to curiosity, that's everything. I want to close with this quote from Nayira Wahid. It just feels like the perfect end to this whole deep dive. And I said to my body, softly, "I want to be your friend." It took a long breath and replied, "I've been waiting my whole life for this."
Your body's been waiting for your attention, offered with love.
What if you started today just observing, with patience, with care?